Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, inshallah, you know, we will do that. We will remake the world by working together. The best way to remake the world is to make sure that you remake yourself. This is becoming a constant battle on a daily basis that the world is, because the world is changing so fast. So what we have to do is we have to constantly remake ourselves. What I mean by that is every day we have to, what we can do to make improvements to ourselves, make adjustments with ourselves, and clear up some of our faults. We may have impressions that we have to address as far as food is concerned, make adjustments as far as the way that we actually deal with social media. It is always recommended on this program to participate in social media, but to be able to come out of social media. The Quran is not based on social media. The Quran is based on the world. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a artificial intelligence. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence today. This is an interview that Scott Terry did. It's with Sundar Pichai, who is the CEO of Google. And he's going to talk about artificial intelligence. This is Scott Perry, of 60 minutes. That's what the program is that this comes from, 60 minutes. You can see the full interview on YouTube if you go to 60 minutes on what Scott Perry. Here we go.
We may look on our time as the moment civilization was transformed, as it was by fire, agriculture, and electricity. In 2023, we learned that a machine taught itself how to speak to humans like a peer, which is to say, with creativity, truth, errors, and lies. The technology, known as a chatbot, is only one of the recent breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, machines that can teach themselves superhuman skills. In April, we explored what's coming next at Google, a leader in this new world. CEO Sundar Pichai told us AI will be as good or as evil as human nature allows. The revolution, he says, is coming faster than you know.
Do you think society is prepared for what's coming?
You know, there are two ways I think about it. On one hand, I feel no, because, you know, the pace at which we can think and adapt as societal institutions compared to the pace at which the technology is evolving, there seems to be a mismatch. On the other hand, compared to any other technology, I've seen more people worried about it earlier in its life cycle. So I feel optimistic. The number of people, you know, who have started worrying about the implications, and hence the conversations are starting in a serious way as well.
Our conversations with 50-year-old Sundar Pichai started at Google's new campus in Mountain View, California. It runs on 40% solar power and collects more water than it uses. High tech that Pichai couldn't have imagined growing up in India with no telephone at home.
We were on a waiting list to get a rotary phone and for about 5 years. And it finally came home. I can still recall it vividly. It changed our lives. To me, it was the first moment I understood the power of what getting access to technology meant. So probably led me to be doing what I'm doing today.
What he's doing since 2019 is leading both Google and its parent company, Alphabet, valued at $1.5 trillion. Worldwide, Google runs 90% of internet searches and 70% of smartphones.
We're really excited about it.
But its dominance was attacked this past February when Microsoft linked its search engine to a chatbot. In a race for AI dominance, in March, Google released its chatbot named Bard.
It's really here to help you brainstorm ideas, to generate content like a speech or a blog post or an email.
We were introduced to Bard by Google Vice President Sissy Hsiao and Senior Vice President James Manyika.
Here's Bard. And
the first thing we learned was that Bard does not look for answers on the internet like Google search does.
So I wanted to get inspiration from some of the best speeches in the world.
Bard's replies come from a self-contained program that was mostly self-taught. Our experience was unsettling.
Confounding. Absolutely confounding.
Bard appeared to possess the sum of human knowledge. With microchips more than 100,000 times faster than the human brain. We asked Bard to summarize the New Testament. It did, in 5 seconds and 17 words.
In Latin.
We asked for it in Latin. That took another 4 seconds. Then we played with a famous 6-word short story often attributed to Hemingway.
For sale, baby shoes, never worn.
Wow.
The only prompt we gave was finish this story. In 5 seconds.
Holy cow. The shoes were a gift from my wife, but we never had a baby. They were
from the 6-word prompt. Bard created a deeply human tale with characters it invented, including a man whose wife could not conceive and a stranger grieving after a miscarriage and longing for closure.
I am rarely speechless. I don't know what to make of this. Give me
We asked for the story in verse. In 5 seconds, there was a poem written by a machine with breathtaking insight into the mystery of faith. Bard wrote, "She knew her baby's soul would always be alive." The humanity, at superhuman speed, was a shock. How is this possible? James Manyika told us that over several months, Bard read most everything on the internet and created a model of what language looks like. Rather than search, its answers come from this language model.
So, for example, if I said to you, Scott, peanut butter and?
Jelly.
Right. So it tries and learns to predict, okay, so peanut butter usually is followed by jelly. It tries to predict the most probable next words based on everything it's learned. So it's not going out to find stuff. It's just predicting the next word.
But it doesn't feel like that. We asked Bard why it helps people, and it replied, quote, "Because it makes me happy."
Yes, that was a 60-minute interview, and you can watch more of that interview right here. Let me just get that interview for you in case you want to hear more of it. That would be 60 Minutes Interview, Artificial Intelligence, AI Revolution. David Byrne, 60 Minutes, full episode. You can go to YouTube and watch the rest of this. That would be AI Revolution. David Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, 60 Minutes Interview, full episode. So we'll go over some of the points that were made in the interview. We're talking about artificial intelligence. That's what AI stands for, artificial intelligence. And this is the future. This is our children and our grandchildren are going in the future. This is not God's world. This is man's world. Man is creating his own world. They call it a metaverse. You know, we have the universe, all right, and then we have the metaverse. It's a world that's actually coming on. Last week we talked about what Apple was doing as far as the new Apple product was concerned. So there are many companies that are using artificial intelligence already. Cars use it, stores use it, computers, your phone uses it, and there are many others that are using it, and it affects every part of our life. So it's going to be important for us just to have an understanding of it. There are benefits to it, and then there are things that we should watch out for. We're in a situation today where we have access to technology. Technology is technical ideas. When we say technology, it's important to understand that technology is when you have a computer, but there are many technical pieces that actually make up the computer. There's the battery. There's the screen, there's the sound, and there are people that work on each one of these particular parts of the computer. It would be the same with the phone. It's not just the phone anymore, but there are technical aspects that go into the phone that people work on. So with the phone, we're able to not only make a call with a phone, they call it a cell phone, but we can text a message to the people that we are communicating with. So technically, to be able to use the 5G or the first generation, second generation, because that's what G stands for. When you see 1G, 2G, 3G, you're talking about generation. So right now, we're on 5G, meaning fifth generation of cell phone technology as far as getting the information from one place to the other. We're dealing with 5G. Then we have the idea of text messages and voice recognition. So all of these are technical terms. You know, they're technical pieces of the telephone that are put together in order to make the current cell phone. We don't even think about it. All we want to do is be able to pick up the phone and make a telephone call or pick up the phone and send a text message. But there are a lot of technical parts of it. We don't want to know anything about, you know, what it takes me to drive my car. All I want to know is I'm going to get in the car, push the button, and, you know, look, it works. But there's many technical aspects to it, many little things that are going on in the wheel, just to make sure that the wheel runs right, make sure that the steering, make sure that there's security in the car. I mean, there's so many little technical things that actually work now as far as the car is concerned. So when we talk about technology, that's what we're talking about, the little technical things that most of the time, you know, we don't even want to know about it. But that's what the word means, technical. We are living in a technical age, and we have access to this technology. Technology is moving forward even faster. If you have Microsoft on your computer, if you have Windows, if you have a Windows computer, the technology has already been updated. Microsoft has added a chatbot, and chatbot stands for Chat Generative Pre-Trained Transformer. So how do I explain this to you? GPT, that's where we'll go. We'll just go with GPT. Generative Pre-Trained Transformer. So you can say something to your computer, and then your computer will generate and transform it into a sentence. It will transform what you're saying into a essay. It's going that far that it can, whatever you say, you can give it one word. No, not one word, but you can give it one sentence. And if you give it one sentence, what it can do, it can write a whole story on one sentence. That's what ChatGPT does. And that has been the updated version of Microsoft. Now, Google has done something different from Microsoft. Google has created a GPT, a ChatGPT, but they have, I'm using this ChatGPT, they have created a system on Google called Bard, B-A-R-D. And the interesting thing is that when you use a ChatGPT on Google, it doesn't look for to complete your sentence, to complete your request on Google. It doesn't look for it on Google. We're talking about Google. Google doesn't look to complete your sentence or to complete your request on its own platform. It does it by searching the whole World Wide Web. So it doesn't even use its own system. It uses the whole World Wide Web to fulfill your chat, your question, your statement that you make. This is where the technology is going. As a matter of fact, it's already here. Like I said, Microsoft is already doing it. Google is bringing it out a little bit at a time. It is said in this interview that Bard, B-A-R-D, is 100,000 times faster than the human brain. I'm going to repeat that. Bard, and I would also say this Microsoft system that they have, the Microsoft Chat GPT, is 100,000 times faster than the human brain. So you would think these are programs that are, first of all, they are free because it's Google and it's Microsoft. So like I said, if it's in your computer with Microsoft, then it's free. But they are also making chat GPTs, all right, generative pre-trained transformers that you'll have to pay for. And it's already being done. If you said peanut butter and, you know, what would you say? It would automatically come up peanut butter and then it would, oh, jelly. Jelly, okay, peanut butter and then you say jelly. So these machines, Microsoft and Google, and I mean, it's being done right now. Microsoft and Google can write a whole essay for schoolwork. Like you have a term paper that you have to do. All you have to do today, all you have to do is give some basic information to this platform, these transformers, and they will write you a term paper. If you're a lawyer, you can give a certain amount of information, and they will write your information so that when you go to talk about it in court, you have it right there. This is a pretty good assistant. This will assist the human being. But there are the other parts too. The negative part of it is that they can lie. They can tell you lies. So ChatGPT and Microsoft and Bard can make up, because that's what it does. It makes up stuff. It makes up sentences. And when it makes up sentences and you have that kind of faith and trust in what Bard is saying or what Microsoft is saying, then you'll be being misdirected. What is it important for us to do? It's important for us to be able to check. I'll give you an example. I was on Facebook the other day, and somebody wrote that showed two pictures of a person that I know very well. And they said that the person had passed. But in it, they never mentioned the person's name. They said that the person passed, and they put up two pictures. But they never mentioned this person's name. Now, the person that put it up, I knew. But I was still skeptical. I was skeptical because it would be easy. You take a couple of pictures, put them up, and say, yo, this person has died. Easy to do. Because this picture is already online. Many of us, our pictures is already online. So if somebody put my picture up and said, you know, may Allah bless this person, may Allah bless the brother with paradise, the brother has passed. And just that's it. That's all. Then you would say, oh, wow. So what happens in that situation? Let me tell you what was happening. The pictures are there. This brother has passed. May Allah bless him with paradise. And people started, may Allah bless him with paradise. People weren't checking. They just took it for granted that it was true. They just took it for granted. So I wrote, I'm not going to say it until I confirm it. So I made calls to various people. I finally got a hold of a family member who said that it was true. And so I wrote in it that, you know, yes, this, and I put the person's name in it. And I put the person's name in it. Because there was also people who were saying, yeah, well, what's the brother's name? I think I know him. What's his name? I think I know him. I did have an opportunity to speak to the person who put the chat up, to put the pictures and the information up. And he said, look, I wouldn't put anything up that wasn't true unless I had checked it. But I don't know that. The people that are reading what he put up didn't know that. And the information was so sketchy. It was just two pictures, and the person died, you know, may Allah bless him with paradise, you know, boom, that was it. So I was like, anybody could do that. So that's why I had to check. But the person that put it up felt offended. There's a lot of that going on. Cancel, when they talk about this thing, you may have heard about this, it's called cancel culture. And cancel culture is when a group of people get together and they say so many negative things about you. They put so many lies online about you that, I mean, and it's not checked. These are things that are not checked. They put so many lies up that everybody starts to question you. People that you work for, your family members, your friends, your associates, everybody starts to question you. And then it has an effect. It has an effect on your bottom line. It has an effect on your personal life because, you know, that's how that cancel culture works. So it's important, brothers and sisters, to know that this is where the culture is going. And it is very, very important to be able to check and to have sources that are not necessarily online, especially with something like worse. Or if you decide that you want to accept what's online, then make sure that you go to a reliable source. Right now, I just played an interview from 60 Minutes, which I'm going to play again because when I first played this interview, there weren't any people on. So I'm going to play it again. Hopefully, this time you'll have a better understanding of it, especially since we've talked about what does technology mean, having access to technology, Microsoft. We've talked about Bard, B-A-R-D, that is the new Google. The computer, the Bard, and the chatbot is 100,000 times faster than the human brain. The peanut butter and jelly example. Okay, so we're going to play that now since we have a bunch of people on the phone, so we're going to play that now. This, again, this is an interview from 60 Minutes with Scott Pelley. And you can see the full interview on YouTube. It would be the AI, that's artificial intelligence, the AI revolution. No, it's AI revolution, David Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, 60 minutes full episode. Okay, so if you want to see the full episode of 60 Minutes, that's where you would go, YouTube. AI revolution, David Byrne. We're going to be talking about this for a couple of weeks, because, like we said before, everything is moving so fast. Some of the ideas that I've given you today is about chatbot and what is Microsoft doing, what does technology mean, and Bard, B-A-R-D. So here's the interview.
We may look on our time as the moment civilization was transformed, as it was by fire, agriculture, and electricity. In 2023, we learned that a machine taught itself how to speak to humans like a peer, which is to say with creativity, truth, errors, and lies. The technology, known as a chatbot, is only one of the recent breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, machines that can teach themselves superhuman skills. In April, we explored what's coming next at Google, a leader in this new world. CEO Sundar Pichai told us AI will be as good or as evil as human nature allows. The revolution, he says, is coming faster than you know.
Do you think society is prepared for what's coming?
You know, there are two ways I think about it. On one hand, I feel no, because, you know, the pace at which we can think and adapt as societal institutions compared to the pace at which the technology is evolving, there seems to be a mismatch. On the other hand, compared to any other technology, I've seen more people worried about it earlier in its life cycle. So I feel optimistic. The number of people, you know, who have started worrying about the implications, and hence the conversations are starting in a serious way as well.
Our conversations with 50-year-old Sundar Pichai started at Google's new campus in Mountain View, California. It runs on 40% solar power and collects more water than it uses. High tech that Pichai couldn't have imagined growing up in India with no telephone at home.
We were on a waiting list to get a rotary phone and for about 5 years. And it finally came home. I can still recall it vividly. It changed our lives. To me, it was the first moment I understood the power of what getting access to technology meant. So probably led me to be doing what I'm doing today.
What he's doing since 2019 is leading both Google and its parent company, Alphabet, valued at $1.5 trillion. Worldwide, Google runs 90% of internet searches and 70% of smartphones.
We're really excited about it.
But its dominance was attacked this past February when Microsoft linked its search engine to a chatbot. In a race for AI dominance, in March, Google released its chatbot named Bard.
It's really here to help you brainstorm ideas, to generate content like a speech or a blog post or an email.
We were introduced to Bard by Google Vice President Sissy Hsiao and Senior Vice President James Manyika.
Here's Bard.
The first thing we learned was that Bard does not look for answers on the internet like Google search does.
So I wanted to get inspiration from some of the best speeches in the world.
Bard's replies come from a self-contained program that was mostly self-taught. Our experience was unsettling.
Confounding. Absolutely confounding.
Bard appeared to possess the sum of human knowledge. With microchips more than 100,000 times faster than the human brain. We asked Bard to summarize the New Testament. It did, in 5 seconds and 17 words.
In Latin.
We asked for it in Latin. That took another 4 seconds. Then we played with a famous 6-word short story, often attributed to Hemingway.
For sale, baby shoes, never worn.
Wow.
The only prompt we gave was finish this story. In 5 seconds.
Holy cow. The shoes were a gift from my wife, but we never had a baby. They were
from the 6-word prompt, Bard created a deeply human tale with characters it invented, including a man whose wife could not conceive and a stranger grieving after a miscarriage and longing for closure.
I am rarely speechless. I don't know what to make of this.
We asked for the story in verse. In 5 seconds, there was a poem written by a machine with breathtaking insight into the mystery of faith. Bard wrote, "She knew her baby's soul would always be alive." The humanity, at superhuman speed, was a shock.
How is this possible?
James Manyika told us that over several months, Bard read most everything on the internet and created a model of what language looks like, Rather than search, its answers come from this language model.
So, for example, if I said to you, Scott, peanut butter and?
Jelly.
Right. So it tries and learns to predict, okay, so peanut butter usually is followed by jelly. It tries to predict the most probable next words based on everything it's learned. So it's not going out to find stuff. It's just predicting the next word.
But it doesn't feel like that. We asked Bard why it helps people, and it replied, quote, because it makes me happy.
Bard appears to be human, or a sentient being. So this is just that last point. Why do you do what you do? Because it makes me happy. This is what a machine is saying. Because it makes me happy. Now, happy is an emotion. It is an emotion. But that would be an intellectual response, probably, that Bard, through ChatGPT or generative pre-trained transformer, that would probably be after searching the whole internet and people asking that question, it has probably come across many times that says, you know, why are you doing this? Because it makes me happy, which is a human emotion, which the machine cannot do. But hey, it sounds good. It sounds good. You'd be like, oh, okay, I could go. If you were just reading it and you didn't, well, let's say this here. Suppose you decided that you was going to ask the person, I need something that, what makes, why do you do this? You asked the machine, why do you do this? And then it came back with an answer, because it makes me happy. And so what you do, you go ahead and you say, the emotional being, the sentient being, the human being, you say what the machine has told you, because it makes me happy. That's the purpose of these ChatGPTs. That's the purpose of these technological advancements. The technology has gone that far. It has gone that far. So I think one of the things that is very important for us to keep in mind, because if you have a smartphone, if you're driving a car, if you have a computer, this is going to be information and technology that you're going to have access to. I'm talking about you, us pioneers, is what we are going to have access to. I mean, you may not even want to know this. You just want to pick up your phone again. Like I said, you just want to pick up your phone and make a phone call. You just want to go on the computer, go to Google, and find out, well, what time does the train come in? What's going to be on sale at the store this weekend? Let me just go to listen to YouTube and listen to Imam Rafiqeen Muhammad. Let me see, you know, just a bunch of things. But we're not interested in the way that technology works to that degree. We just want to do the simple part, which is fine, which is all well and good. But now let's talk about our children, how our children will interact with the technology. Because that's what I believe the children are the future. The children are the future. So is this going to help them to be Muslim? Or is it just, remember, it's not only information that you're going to be getting. You're going to be getting information that's going to be true, and then some things are going to be lies. So, you know, how do we teach our children to discern from this? Or do they automatically just believe whatever they see in Google, or they believe whatever they see in Microsoft, or they believe whatever they see in YouTube, whatever? Again, it's important that if something comes up, and if to the pioneers, that if something comes up and you have a question about it, check two or three sources. CBS, who we got this source from, about artificial intelligence with Scott Pelley, is a reliable source. And there are other reliable sources out there. The New York Times is a reliable source. But there are a lot of, right now, there are a lot of medias that can just, anybody with a cell phone can create a podcast like we're doing right here on American Muslim 360. Time is really flying. I haven't played any of the PSAs, so that's what I'm going to do right now.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. We're talking about some of the advancements as far as technology is concerned, the technical ideas that are actually being developed right here in this world. That's really for our convenience, but if we're not careful, that we can get caught out there. Not only will we get caught out there, but our children and our grandchildren can get caught out there too. One of the most important, there are two important books. I was going to say one, but I'll mention two. One book would be, is always the Quran. The Quran is an important book. It's an important book to judge all of these things by. And the other important book to have is the dictionary. The dictionary is a very important book because it is authentic. It has been confirmed. When I was going to school, when I was in university, we couldn't use any of the references from the internet. It all had to come from books. And I always wondered, I said, why are they taking us through that? We have to go get references from the book when it's easier just to go to the internet. You're right, it is easier. But the books are confirmed sources. They are confirmed sources. Anybody can put something on the internet these days, the World Wide Web. Anybody can put anything up there. And if you haven't checked it with reliable sources, then the information could be wrong. And I've done that a few times as far as writing my papers and got the wrong information and had to do the paper over. So anyway, we have 11 minutes left in the program. If anybody has a question or comment, please press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you in. Last week we did talk about another word that's going around all in current society, and that's an algorithm. An algorithm. And it's a three-syllable word, algorithm. Okay, so al means the gore. It has to do with the Gregorian knot, the Gordian knot. And the Gordian knot is a complex of unsolvable problems. Can be traced back to the legendary chapter in the life of Alexander the Great. As the story goes, the Macedonian conqueror marched his army into the belligerent capital of Gordian in modern-day Turkey. Anyway, the whole Gordian knot is a complicated and complex knotting system. It is representative, basically, of the brain, because the brain is a complex system that has unsolvable problems or that can solve problems. So in order for us to actually use the brain is just like this Gordian knot. It has all of these complicated attachments to it that because it has that, then we use the word algor, and then rhythm is, you know what a rhythm is, it's something that goes over and over. So an algorithm is basically something that goes over, a complicated set that goes over and over and over again. You put in that you want pizza, and they will show you, the internet can show you 5 or 6 different, you know, places where you can get pizza. You put in that you want a scarf, 5 or 6 places you can get a scarf or wear a scarf or whatever it is that you want to know as far as the scarf is concerned. So these are some of the technologies that are actually going on in the world today. Algorithm, the idea that we have with this new technology, the Apple products, it's important that we stay on top of this. I say this every week. It's okay to be part of the social media world, but it's important to come out of the social media world back into the real world. And that is something that we should be teaching our children, to come out of the social media world and come back into the real world. Come out of the social media world and come back into the real world. Even though the social media world and artificial intelligence, Bard, Microsoft, chatbot, all of that is all around us, especially if you live in the city. It's all around us in all parts of transportation, etc. I'm going to say listen online at am360.org and 24-hour live streaming, 701-719-4197. Live audience call-ins to the studio at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CW Shura. Like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference. Visit M360's parent corporation, Community-Wide Shura Conference, at cwsc.us. Or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so very much, Brother Imam Omar Shakir. So the big question is going to be, will artificial intelligence and humanity be able to coexist together? That is the question. There is little benefit these days in the hunter-gatherer idea that the human being has gone through. Because when human beings first started, it was hunter-gatherer. We would go out, and then we go out and hunt, and or gather fruits, berries, etc., and bring it back home. That was a era. Then from there, we started to advance as far as farming, as far as farming and agriculture. We started planting. We started with the cows and milking cows and slaughtering, you know, our meats and things like that. And then from that, we did that for many, many centuries. And then from that, we went into the manufacturing or the machine world. And we started to, machines started to help us with our farming and with our, you know, cattle and things that we were doing. So it was able to mass produce that. And so now, you know, we're coming into a more technological age now where the technical parts that have happened with the machines that we had created some time ago, with those technological aspects that are happening with the machines are now working even better than they were. The car at one time, you know, you had to crank a car at one time. Now, you know, you just push a button on the car. But those are because of technological advancements. And that's what it is. It's a technological advancement. And so now it has gone to the point where we're into AI, artificial intelligence is being part of our life. And the question is, will artificial intelligence and humanity be able to coexist? And we're going to take a telephone call from 706-627. Assalamu alaikum, your microphone is open.
Wa alaikum assalam, it's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. Right quick on your program, thank a lot for your service this morning. But again, remember, just like you said, we're dealing on it, but we have to do it. The reason why we are experiencing all these different things with the wonderful gifts that Allah has given the human family is that we're still in the artificial intelligent world. Until we leave this artificial intelligent world and establish the real world, you know, halal and all these technical things going to do so much for the human family to live in peace, to love one another, to slow down the waste that Shaitan is pushing us to. You know, from which we know that waste will qualify us to go to the hellfire for being wasteful. And we're letting technology and all everything else just produce so much collateral damage to the atmosphere and everything called pollution and everything because of the artificial world that we're living in. But now we're not artificial no more. Allah has blessed us.
Yes, brother.
To come into the reality
yes,
of the real world. Yes, sir.
Brother Muhammad. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So is there any good that's coming out of the artificial world for us?
None at all.
Your
other than tell us to leave it, go do it, and go take it. Because remember, Allah said that to us. For us to model and set the model so that this respite, as long as Allah is giving Shaitan his respite, we had to keep things balanced. We had to keep things real. We had to take all the things of communication, orientation that Allah sends us with his mercy to show them that how to use it and what it is used for. It's for man to love one another. It's for man to keep the soil, the air, in balance until Allah brings this respite to an end that he's given Shaitan. You know, and only Allah knows when he's
yes.
going to do that. But this is our responsibility
yes.
as the Khalifa. Our job is to keep everything
yes, Muhammad.
Real. Yes, sir.
Brother Muhammad, yeah, also, but yeah, we do understand that the human being, what are you talking about? Well, they're giving me, telling me that I'm almost out of time, brother. So I thank you for your
yes,
comment.
Sir.
I hope you call in next week, but call in early so we can have a better discussion, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, so he was saying 19 seconds. I got 19 seconds. It says I got a minute and 4 seconds. But I thank you so very much for being with me today on the Upload Life. I pray that, you know, some of the things that I may have said may have been a benefit and a help to the people that are listening. And inshallah, we'll go even further next week because it's some of the things like Brother Muhammad said, this is very important, this artificial stuff. It has its good parts and it has its bad parts. That's only my personal opinion. It has its good points and its bad points. So I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for being with me. If I said anything that was offensive, that was not my purpose. My purpose is only to try to give you the best information that I have. And until next week, I give you greetings of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.